You're listening to the Family Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Couples, today we're going to tackle a tough topic. It's based on the book by Gary Chapman called When to Walk Away, and the focus of the book is on dealing with toxic people. Now, for this conversation today, this is going to pertain to marriage, but I'm going to speak specifically to that towards the end. Most of what I want to present today is toxic people that come in the form of in-laws or brothers and sister-in-laws, friends, coworkers, could be your adult children, and it could be your spouse. But I just thought this book was really challenging and interesting to me to read because we all have toxic people in our lives. And in fact, we ourselves could even be toxic. So I think this will be a challenging, but hopefully an insightful topic for us to wrestle through together, because there's this hard balance as Christians that we identify things that are not healthy in people, and then we feel guilty if we draw any kind of boundary, or we feel like the Christian thing to do is we excuse bad behavior and we just take it. And really what Gary Chapman shares in his book, and what we will explore even in what Jesus models for us in his earthly ministry, is that the answer isn't just to let people treat you poorly. It's to be able to identify toxic things in relationships and be able to draw appropriate boundaries. And again, I'll address the specifics in marriage and with adult kiddos at the end, but I do want you to be thinking about whoever that is in your life that you're like, this person is a struggle for me. Maybe today listening to this podcast is going to help you identify the reason why and what you need to do about it. So I hope everyone has just ears to hear and an open heart. And we'll explore this together. And it's certainly difficult, not easy, but hopefully this information will help you like it's helped me to know how to navigate some of the harder relationships in my life through the years. Okay, so first, let's start with the definition. A toxic person is someone who consistently exhibits harmful behaviors, whether it's manipulation, control, emotional damage, or just pure on negativity. So they create an unhealthy environment, they drain energy, they rob us of peace. So that's kind of the working definition. A person that exhibits harmful behaviors, that robs us of peace, that we feel either manipulated by, controlled by, or just emotionally not safe with them. So just to give you some specific examples, you know, there's the manipulator, toxic person who likes to create division and drama. So you might have that with a coworker, someone that's always looking to stir the pot or create dissension amongst you and somebody else because they want to take advantage of that. It could be in your family dynamic, maybe with in-laws, that maybe a couple of sister-in-laws kind of work against you, or a mother-in-law with another sister-in-law kind of work behind your back and create division and drama. This is the person that we call the manipulator. You know, something that we've seen in ministry is you might have someone who says one thing when you're in the room and then says something very different when you're not, and it just creates confusion and drama. So maybe you have a manipulator in your life. Another toxic kind of person is the pessimist criticizer, the person that's always looking to blame everybody else for something that goes wrong with them, that they're so concerned about preserving their own self-image that they're willing to turn anything negative that they've done or some word they spoke or action they took and blame it on you. Like, you made me do this. They don't take responsibility and they turn it back on other people. Another example of a toxic person is someone that manipulates for attention. And I've seen this in my own life. I remember I had a college roommate who manipulated for attention by always having some drama, some crazy thing that they're going through, and they needed my time to talk, and it was a draining of my energy. It was always kind of the same story every time, but it was like she wanted to monopolize my time, and she would do it by saying like, oh, I need you to, you know, listen to this, or I need you to not go hang out with so-and-so tonight because I need to talk to you about X, Y, or Z. So those are just a couple examples of maybe a toxic person that you have in your life, in your home, in your extended family, at work, maybe with a friend. And a couple of questions maybe just to further explore this so you can kind of start getting this in your mind of, okay, Yes, when I'm around a certain person, I do feel unsafe or I feel emotionally drained. It could be that they're a toxic person. You know, a couple questions maybe to ask yourself is, when I'm around this person, do I feel drained? Am I emotionally exhausted? Are they stealing my peace and joy? Are they interfering with my ability to cultivate other healthy relationships in my life? Do I feel controlled by this person? These are some good questions to be asking yourself. And again, like I said, we're going to address briefly how this could look if you're married to someone like this, because it's certainly a little more complicated, not quite as straightforward. But hopefully having some insight into this might help you to know what some next steps might be for you. And that's what I want to talk about now. How do we navigate a toxic person in our life? What can we do to protect ourselves and really even help the other person, right? Because we don't want to be an enabler. If you have an adult child living in the home that you feel like their mood controls everything, or every time you try to draw a boundary, they turn it around to make you feel guilty, like you're a terrible, mean parent for not giving them what they want, even though they're doing destructive behaviors. You need to know, how do I deal with that? What power do you have to respond? What boundaries can you draw so it doesn't suck the life out of you? So here's some things that the book talks about that I think could be helpful. So have that person in your mind, that relationship that you know is toxic, or listening to this information in the setup, you're like, okay, this is explaining why I have so much emotional angst around this person. I think I have a toxic person in my life. The first thing that's so helpful is to be able to label that bad behavior. Recognizing whatever the toxic dynamic is, it's really good to give it a name, right? When we deal with things that are kind of like murky or kind of hidden, when we bring things into the light, I mean, this is a biblical principle, it brings clarity. It shines the light in the right place. It gives you a little bit of like space to breathe, to be like, okay, I'm not crazy for feeling like this. When this person does this or that behavior is robbing me of joy or peace, or I'm feeling controlled by them, to label that bad behavior gives you a sense of like, okay, now I can get into the problem solving mode because now I know what the problem is. So label it. What is it? What is that dynamic that's not healthy? Give it a name. With that person, as much as you can, to speak the truth in a loving way, be honest about how their behavior is impacting you. If it's a mother-in-law and a sister-in-law dynamic where you feel like they're talking behind your back and fueling drama and trying to bring like other family members in on it, to be able to say, hey, I'm getting feedback about this. Is this true? I want to be in a safe relationship with you guys. If you have a problem with me or something I've said or done, would you please come talk to me about it? Like, call it out. Once you label the bad behavior, be ready to speak the truth and love to that person. But here's the deal. This is the whole complicated thing with dealing with a toxic person. They may not want to be called out. They may not receive your words. But as hard as this is to receive, that's part's not your problem. Your job is to identify what's not healthy and to give them an opportunity to respond to it, to apologize, to be like, oh my gosh, you're right, I'm so sorry. But if they don't respond well, then we'll talk about in a minute, then your response can be, I just need to draw some different boundaries with this person. So you don't just have to be like, okay, well, I tried and they didn't receive it, or they said I'm crazy, or they don't agree. Okay, well, that doesn't mean that then you just have to shrug your shoulders and keep being in a toxic friendship or relationship with someone. You can draw boundaries. We'll talk about that in a second. Now, another thing that I think is good for us to remember, if we're dealing with a toxic person, especially like the pot stirrer, the manipulator kind of person sowing division, don't jump into the gossip, and don't feel like you need to unnecessarily defend yourself. If you know someone's toxic and this is a pattern in their life, that they try to create drama, then you trying to defend yourself is only feeding their toxicity of like, oh, see, now I've got them. I've got control of them because they're working really hard to try to counteract everything I'm saying. The better thing is for you to be like, you know what? I'm not going to play into that. I'm going to continue to be a person of honor. I'm going to speak the truth and go to that person and confront the things that I'm hearing. But I'm not going to try to defend every false accusation that they're making. And trust me, I recognize that that's hard. That's not an easy thing to do. But you don't want to give a toxic person more power over you by wasting your energy, because the whole goal for them is to create that angst in you that gives them control. And so if you give that to them, then they're winning. So don't do that. I know that's hard, but don't do that. Now, like I said, if you've spoken the truth to a toxic person and they're not responding well, then guard your heart by setting boundaries. You know, here's what it says in Proverbs 26, 4 and 5. Don't answer the foolish arguments of fools, or you will become as foolish as they are. Be sure to answer the foolish arguments of fools, or they will become wise in their own estimation. So be sure to draw boundaries as you see fit to protect your own heart. If you're in a relationship with someone that you feel controlled by or manipulated by, or is like trying to suck the life out of you, it's okay for you to say, I'm not going to engage with you at that level. Here's the time I'm willing to give to you. Here's the emotional bandwidth I have at this season in my life. And it's going to be a yes or a no. And you can decide to set boundaries. And if there's a person in your life that is hard to be around and robs your joy, it's okay for you to say, that friendship isn't worth me pursuing at the same level anymore. I need to draw the boundary to say, I'm not going to spend time anymore. And again, as hard as that can be, you can just be honest with that. Or sometimes it's indirectly, maybe you just stop engaging in certain things. And then over time, that person kind of gets the clue that maybe you're not looking to pursue that relationship at the same level. So along with the boundaries, you can limit your time with them. That's going to be important for you. I also think it's important that when we're dealing with toxic people in our lives, and so we don't fall into toxic behaviors, is to pray for whoever that person is in your life. You know, they're a broken person. You're a broken person. You've been set free of things in your life. This person has a chance to be set free too. Pray for them. So your heart remains soft towards them. That doesn't mean you're in a trusting relationship with them, but you can certainly pray for them that God would do a work in their heart, that God would soften them, that God would give them the tools that they need to be a healthier person. And again, like I said, in drawing boundaries and limiting time with a toxic person, find people that bring joy and encouragement to you. Spend more time with them. Find people that breathe life into you so you can kind of counteract maybe the more negative person. Because here's the thing, you guys, I recognize in kind of giving these bullet points of things to do with a toxic person, this gets real complicated real fast when it's someone living in your home, if it's a child or if it's a spouse. But the principles still apply, that it's important to label the bad behavior. It's important to give the toxic dynamic a name and to speak the truth as you can, to not engage in gossip or unnecessary defense, to set your right boundaries, to pray for this person, and to spend time with the right kind of people. So let's transition then to if it's a child living in your home or your spouse. You know, I have walked with many couples, spouses, through some really hard dynamics. And if you're married to a toxic person, what I want to say to you is pray first and foremost that God changes their heart. Draw appropriate boundaries that you need right now for your own safety and sanity. And sometimes that might mean a time of separation, that if your spouse is not engaging in a healthy way and is not being teachable or humble, then sometimes creating some space is helpful for the toxic spouse to start doing some self-reflection and to decide if they want to live alone or if they want to try to fight for their marriage and their family. Obviously, professional counseling would be very, very key to this, that you don't try to battle a toxic spouse or a toxic child on your own. You need skills, you need insights, there needs to be accountability. Now, if the toxic spouse is not interested in counseling, go for yourself then. Go to learn skills of how you can better manage and protect your heart and draw the right boundaries in the meantime. And then, of course, I hope that you have Christian fellowship, a church, pastors, leaders that can speak into your life. I pray that if you have that community, that the toxic spouse would be willing to talk to someone, to be honest about those struggles. And again, if they're not, at least for you, you can find encouragement and strength to bolster you for this harder situation that you're in. for kids that might be toxic, that might be controlling or manipulating you or making you feel like you drawing boundaries of whatever it's financial or saying it's time for you to move out and they're not liking that. That's okay for your kids to have a season of being mad at you because they're coming. If a toxic child is in your home, they're wanting to control. They're selfish. They're not seeing it from any other point of view, but that doesn't mean that you don't draw the right boundaries, that you don't follow through with the things that you feel like need to happen for your own sake. And honestly, at the end of the day, for your kids' sake, even though they don't see it that way at the time. But we cannot, as hard as it is, we cannot force change in our spouse or in our kids. That's a God thing. So that's why I started with, if you're in one of those situations, married to a toxic person or have a toxic child in the home, prayer is your most important thing. Professional counsel and Christian community. And I recognize that doesn't make it any easier, but at least those are some things that you could start looking toward to help you manage through a difficult marriage or a difficult relationship with a child. And really what I want to do here is just end with what was probably most insightful to me in reading this book is how he highlighted how Jesus responded to people or dynamics that went awry. So for example, the rich young ruler, you know, Jesus has this interaction with this young man who comes. He's like, I've obeyed all the commandments. I'm doing great. What else do I need to do? And so Jesus is like, well, you need to go sell all of your possessions and give your money to the poor and then come follow me. Now, Jesus knew that this rich young ruler, his main focus was his money, his wealth, and what it provided him. So when he challenges him with the truth of, well, listen, ultimately your treasure is supposed to be in heaven, so all of your earthly possessions, go sell them and be free of that bondage, and then come follow me. And when Jesus presented that, the rich young man walked away sad. Now in the next verse, after the young man walks away, because he didn't want to give up his possessions, Jesus looks to his disciples and he says, I tell you the truth, it's very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And I'll say it again, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. So Jesus presented truth to the rich young ruler and he didn't like the message. But what did Jesus do? He didn't chase after the rich young ruler. He wasn't like, wait, listen, maybe I could soften my message a little bit. Maybe I could say it a different way. No, he spoke the truth and then he let him walk away because Jesus knew he wasn't ready. So that might be an example for you dealing with a toxic person in your life that it's okay to let them walk away. Now, again, I recognize that's more complicated when we're talking about marriage or our kids, but the concept is you can't convince somebody of something they don't want to find out about themselves. You can't make the toxic person become suddenly self-aware and repentant. It might be one of those things where you do what you can, you share the truth and the experience or your feelings of how things have been harmful or hurtful to you. And if they don't receive that well, it's okay to let them walk away. It's okay to make an adjustment in that relationship and to give them space and to give yourself space. You know, we see in other parts of scripture of Jesus's earthly ministry where he would retreat and go away to pray, that he wasn't at the beck and call of every person that wanted his time. He would go away. He would draw boundaries with people and say, I need this time for myself and I'll come interact with you when I'm good and ready. And so for some of you, maybe with the person that's more of a attention life-draining person in your life, you might need to just recognize even Jesus would draw boundaries with people. And then just the last example we see in Luke 4 is that Jesus goes back to his hometown. He goes to the synagogue. He teaches and they don't like his message and they ask him to leave town. Like, we don't like you. We don't like what you're preaching. And Jesus left. He didn't stand up there and say, now, wait a second. I'm the Son of God. Why are you rejecting me? Again, it was another opportunity for Jesus to say, I'm speaking the truth. They're not ready for that message. I'm going to walk away. And then lastly, we see Jesus with Judas at the Last Supper. He knew Judas was going to betray him. He knew he was a toxic person in their midst, but he still washed his feet. He still let him be a part of the Last Supper. And Jesus talking about what was about to happen at his doing, Judas's doing, his betrayal. So Jesus gives us some examples of how he dealt with toxic people. And with Judas, he let him stay, but then he said, now go do what you're about to do, and had him leave. So I hope that this information is helpful to you. We do have toxic people in our lives. As Christians, we certainly need to be kind and loving, but that doesn't mean we're doormats. That doesn't mean we let other people's toxic behavior control us or harm us. And so be honest about what the behaviors are that are hard for you. Do what you can to speak the truth. You know, involve professional counselors or church leaders as you need, and set the right boundaries for yourself that you need to set for your own health. And pray for whoever this toxic person is in your life, and then spend time with people that give you encouragement. You're going to need that, especially if the person that's toxic in your life is the person you're married to, or it's one of your kids. And like I said, I know that this isn't easy. I know that this is a complicated, especially when it comes to those closer relationships. But Jesus gives us a model of how we should respond to toxic behavior. And it doesn't do you any good if you're overtaken by somebody else's bad behavior, that it then just kind of drains you or takes you out of the game altogether of being used by God to do the things that he's created and meant for you to do. So identify it. Don't be afraid to deal with it. Don't be afraid to draw your boundaries, and make sure that you include people that have godly wisdom to offer, skills to give you, and move forward in as healthy of a way as you can, recognizing you can't make somebody else be healthy that doesn't want to be.
Thanks for listening. If you haven't already, please consider rating our podcast. It's a simple way to help us reach more people. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.